Welcome to Readers Rockin' Radio, home to book lovers across the globe. Readers Rockin' Radio is where authors and readers come together to celebrate books. So grab a beverage because the party is on!
Well, Deb, are you there?
I'm here. Are you here?
Hallelujah! Well, I'll tell you what, we blew up the phone lines last week. So many people were trying to call in that they all got booted off. And I was shocked because we had so many listeners of the archive that our show was featured number one on Blog Talk Radio last week for about 3 days straight. So I was just kind of shocked by it all. It was a lot of fun.
I wasn't shocked.
Why did I know that was coming? Well, I am glad that you're not shocked, but it was, you've got to tell me. It was fun when I called you and told you, wasn't it?
Oh, well, yeah, it was a blast. Absolute blast. I loved it.
Well,
it was cool.
We're here at Readers Rockin' Radio, and we feature authors, live interviews with authors. We try to find innovative and up-and-coming authors that haven't been spotlighted yet, so that we can get their show on the road and get them on the way to the bestseller list. So it was a lot of fun to have our first few guests this month, and tonight we have another wonderful guest with us. Her name is Dawn Batterby Miller, and she's going to be with us here in a few minutes. So I'm going to be real excited to interview her. Now, Deb, do we have any announcements here at the beginning before we invite Dawn onto the air with us?
I don't think we do have any announcements today. We've given as much time as possible to Dawn.
Okay. There are just a couple things that I want to go over before we bring her on, and that is that you're thinking that it's Thursday, but it's really Wednesday, which means that it's the last day for the Extreme Author Makeover.
That's true. And I did forget it was today. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're a day ahead, I know that. But today is the last day, and authors have until midnight to get their essay. It's just a one-page essay describing why they would deserve to win the Extreme Author Makeover Contest. And what that is up to $3,000 worth of promotional products from Master Coda. Just all you have to do, go to the website, mastercoda.com, and there is a page that says Contest. Scroll to the bottom of that. It'll tell you what the rules of entry are. Go ahead and get that one-page essay sent to me. It really is worth your time just to do one-page essay in order to win $3,000 worth of promotional products for your book. And then, you know, there's one other thing that I want to touch on, and that is this is the last day of NaNoWriMo. And what that stands for is National Novel Writing Month. This is the last day for 2011. And website does is just to encourage people to write the novel that they always wanted to write, you know, many years of saying someday I'll do that. And it's so encouraging to me to talk and get to know those people that may have, you know, lived their entire life without pursuing that dream, and then suddenly they decide, or probably not suddenly, but one day they say, you know, what's stopping me? Why don't I do that? And that's, it's exciting for me tonight to speak with an author that has lived a full life. She has, you know, had many years of experience. And here in the last few years, she decided that she would go ahead and write these books that have been in her heart for a long time. And that's our guest tonight, Dawn. And what it shows me is that the dream is out there, and you're never too old to achieve that dream. And so I'm really encouraged by her life story as well as her book. So, Deborah, go ahead. Let's open up the lines here and invite Dawn on to speak with us and be a part of Readers Rockin' Radio.
Hey, 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 Dawn, are you with us now?
Hi, sure.
Hello.
I'm here. And before I start, I just want to say what a joy it has been to be involved and to come to know you guys. I just
felt
like,
Dawn.
You've opened up a whole new era for me. I needed to do that.
I appreciate that so much.
The feelings are mutual.
One thing before we get into your book, I just would like to ask you one question, and that's, you know, you're about the age my mom would be, and I just am so excited about stories like that. I mean, I'm sure the world remembers who Colonel Sanders was, and he was 65 when he took off across the United States to find people that would use his chicken recipe. And most of the time when someone's 65, they want to kick back in their rocking chair. And Dawn, what's so exciting to me is that you did not do that either. You said, let's do this thing. And what prompted you at the golden age to come forward and get these books out there and get them published?
Well, there's just something about, I grew up in the lumber camps, and the story is about a family that and how they survive in the lumber camp era. And you know how we've seen how the little house on the prairie, and we went right in there and we lived the life along with Laura Ingalls Wilder. Well, I wanted to take people into the lumber camps and see what life was really like in those lumber camps. We have a perception that there was a lot of raucous behavior, but the bosses wouldn't let them take all those booze in there all the time and sit around drunk. They had to work all day. So I just wanted people to see what the life was like in there, to actually live it with people, which is why it needed to be a novel rather than just facts and just a regular book.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as authors, we put a lot of our own personality and experiences into our books and our characters. And, you know, I was just, you know, looking at Catherine. Did you model her on you, or did you put a lot of your feelings or your characteristics into this main character?
Well, of course, we always put some of ourselves into these things. But in this particular case, I was a motherless child, as was Catherine. And so I experienced that feeling of being the extra individual somehow in the room. And yes, Catherine turns out to be quite a little bit like me.
Mm-hmm. That I find that most often, you know, we'll pick little things from our own lives. And in that case, what you were saying is that you were a motherless child, and that really played on building her personality. Is that correct?
Into a strong individual. You don't have to be knocked about and become a piece of dirt under the rug. You can build yourself a strong personality, build on the fact that you know that you're going to have to do it yourself.
That is a really good thing for a lot of people today to know, you know, that come from broken homes, that they actually have the power to create their own life. That's such an important message, Dawn. I appreciate that. You know, I don't know about you, Deb, but when I think of a lumberjack of the 1800s, you know, the
mm-hmm.
late 1800s, where that's where the book takes place, but I think of like this brawling, lurid man slapping his mug of beer on the table, and, you know, Dawn, is that the correct perception of the lumberjack of the late 1800s? Because that's what I see.
Well, it depends on where you're finding him. If he's in town, he's as bad as anything you've heard, or worse. if he's on the job and he managed to get some rot gut, he might be that way too. But the bosses, they wouldn't let him have it in there. And furthermore, they had to work all day and all night. And so the camps, people had different personalities, just like we have different personalities today. And you go to the workplace, Walmart, some people have one personality and some have another. Well, that was true in the lumber camps. But when they got in town, they had all their money and they blew it. And, yeah, it was like what you read.
Well, you know, it sounds like you really know a lot about this, Dawn. Did you grow up, and I don't even know how to ask this, did you grow up in a lumber camp, or were you exposed to a lumber camp as a child?
I had one grandpa who was a farmer in the summer, and then to get extra money for the farm, he would go and he would go to the camps for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another man, and I had many grandpas because I lived up in many, many homes.
Mm-hmm.
Another one who was a true lumberjack, and he has recorded some stories about what their life was like. And then I have a cousin who is a lumberjack today, so when I wanted to know how the big wheels work, I just went and said, "Hey, Chuck, how do the big wheels work?"
You had yourself some sources.
Right.
And you know what? You can tell that. Deborah, you haven't read the book yet, but wait until you do. You're going to love this book. I have never been exposed to the lumbering community, but I felt like I was a part of that world when I was reading your book, Dawn. It just brought it to life for me. I dearly, dearly love this book. It's one of my favorites this year, definitely.
Oh, I can't wait to order it.
They do say that it's very good. I got a little story I probably shouldn't tell, but I will anyway.
Go ahead.
Everybody, I got to the place where I would go to camp, or I would go out and be around people who had read the book, and they would say, "I couldn't put it down." And so one day I'm talking to some people and they said, "I liked your book." And inside I'm going, "What? You could put it down?"
How dare you?
Yeah, how dare you?
Don't put my book down. You might get some food on it or something.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, I am looking forward to reading it, very much so.
Well,
but, you know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. I just wanted to, I received a couple of emails that it talks exactly of what Dawn was saying. I had a couple of comments from readers, and one was from a school librarian, and the note said that book should be required reading for the schools. And wow. I'm sure it's because of how closely you just stayed to the history. You didn't sway the history back and forth. You just really kept to the true history, which, you know, as a school librarian, they are going to want that in their school. And another one said, I'm an avid reader, and I enjoy fact-based books about women in the pioneer days. And so she said to Dawn, your work was perfect for me. I was very impressed with the writing, and once I picked up the book, I could hardly put it down. I actually put aside a book I was in the middle of to read Footprints Under the Pines. So those are the kinds of comments that people are giving Dawn about her book.
That is totally cool. And, you know, that brings up another thought then, because it's pretty well known, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's pretty well known that the lumberjacks pretty much stripped the forests of early America, you know, the trees and all that, and they didn't pay attention to, like, cut down one, plant two. And I'm sure that's not the message that you wanted to mostly bring forth, or at least have that the main part of the book. So I was kind of wondering what your main intention was and what message you were trying to project with this book. I mean, I know I haven't read it yet, but, you know, I have gone in and taken some peeks. And so that's kind of intrigued me.
Well, you know, the early on, the forest was so deep and so dark that, like, for example, if you're going through on a train, it could be almost nighttime just because you're underneath all of those trees. You're just going through evening, nighttime kind of thing. That was simply to say how thick the trees were. Well, the lumberjacks, they thought, those trees are going to last forever. And so they did not, early on, take care to replant and stuff like that. But as they began to notice that, now wait a minute, maybe we should be taking more care, and it just kind of grew on them, as ideas do, until today, we're taking better care of our lumbering industry, and we don't go out there and just chop them all down.
So you think that the early lumber camps have impacted today's lumber industry, that we've learned from it then, and the industry
yes.
has learned on itself
yes.
from its own mistakes?
So that what? They are now today being careful that we don't run out of the forests.
So what do they do? Because, like I say, I don't know anything about the lumbering industry now except what I've read in your book. What do they do today to correct, you know, when they take a tree? Are there steps that they take to correct that?
Well, of course, they don't clear cut. They just go in and the nature people, they will go in and mark the trees that are ready to harvest. It's like harvesting your bean crop. You pick the ones
cool.
that are ready.
Oh, and I see.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do some planting, too. We drove through up north where I grew up, and where they were doing this kind of thing. And it was interesting because you would find the tree here and the tree there not chopping them all down, but harvesting, which is
I see.
What they do.
And that makes perfect sense. Getting real close to the end of our time, I have one more question. And then, Dawn, I would truly love it if you had a little snippet of your book that you could read for us. I just have one more question that I'd really like to ask you, because you are a person that has lived a full life, and so you carry with you wisdom. And I would like to know, we live in a time of such stress and economic turmoil right now. What does your book have to say to the world in turmoil today?
Well, these guys lived in a rough, tough world. We live in a rough, tough world. But you know, they went in, they rose to the occasion, they did what they needed to do, and they survived and built a nation. Just as we today can rise to the occasion, overcome, and do what needs to be done.
Oh, excellent.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Do you would you just be able to read a little snippet for us?
I just happen to have a little bit right here.
Oh,
that's
good.
Wonderful.
The lady has just moved. The lady has just moved into a new home. It was early December, and Catherine lay in her bed reflecting on the good fortune to have moved into the Beasley house. Her new home had everything her family would need for the winter. To her right were the cupboards, a little brown with age, but when she had finished decorating, they would gleam in shining white. In the middle of the room stood the table with a red and white oilcloth that she'd brought at Hitchcock's, and she'd fallen heir to a beautiful Hollister range with chrome trim and a large reservoir and warming oven. In the spring, Frank would return. He'd renovate the rest of the place, and her family would live happily ever after. In the pantry, the girls slept soundly. Although there were still difficult times, Catherine's relationship with Hannah had improved a great deal. She lay quietly, listening to the stillness of the winter night, the crackling of the fire as it died down to a warm glow. A tide of peace settled upon her soul, and she closed her eyes, drifting happily off toward sleep. Suddenly, she was jarred in wakefulness. She thought she heard a noise in the woodshed. She lifted herself onto her elbow, listening, straining. There it was again, a clunk and a scrape just outside the wall. Then the doorknob turned. Someone was trying to break into her home. Catherine lay still, terror paralyzing her muscles. She thought of her girls sleeping in the pantry and realized she dared not run for safety. Thump, thump, thump. The sound of footsteps thundered on the deck. Catherine swung her legs over the side of the bed, preparing to defend her home. A loud crash echoed in the night. The door shuddered and creaked as someone threw himself at it. The planks trembled in mortal combat with the hasp Uncle Ned had installed. Bang, slam, thud. The air was filled with profanity. Another crash, and the door shivered on its hinges. An oath rang out, and then a loud bellow. But the door held. Thank goodness for Uncle Ned's hasp. Footsteps pounded down the steps, and the night grew still. Hardly daring to breathe, Catherine peeked out the window to see the silhouette of a man walking away from the porch. He was short, maybe 5 feet 2 inches, and thin and wiry. The man disappeared around the corner of the barn. Catherine lay in her bed trembling. The flannel sheet beneath her was soaked with sweat. What would she have done if that man had broken in? She was alone with 2 young girls to defend. She rose and tiptoed to the pantry door, peeking in to find her young ones sleeping soundly. What would she do if that man came back? It was well into the wee hours before Catherine fell asleep. And that's it.
Oh, wow. Not only can you write, you can read. I mean, you can do audiobooks.
I'll tell you what, if people hear that, there's no way they cannot purchase this book. And the whole book is that way, folks. It is absolutely beautifully written. And, Don, it's just been such a pleasure to have you here. I am going to open the lines. Hopefully we won't blow them up this week. We're almost, airtime is almost over, but I am going to encourage people to call in she does have a book to give to the first caller. Dial 646-378-1295. The first caller to call 646-378-1295. And I'll tell you what, if I didn't have the book already, I'd be dialing my phone.
I called first. I was here first.
You don't, you know, you do this to me every time, Deborah.
You're going to have to enter the contest.
I know. All right, callers, our time on air is, you know, we're going to get cut off here. But if anyone can get through to the lines, last week everyone kept getting dropped because there were too many people trying to call in. But do try to call in at 646-378-1295. And, Dawn, it has just been such a pleasure. Just really been fun to have you here and have you share your book with us. I've been a big fan of it for quite some time now, and I'd like to see it get, you know, even more well known than it is. What's been your favorite thing about publishing this book? Has it been, you know, people that write in and let you know, how it's touched them, or, you know, really, what's been the favorite experience?
Oh, goodness, it has all been so special. Yes, it's been people who appreciate the book. It's the doing what I wanted to do, getting it out, and having people say things like, I felt like I was right there in the camp. That was the goal, was to take people into the camp and see. And here I am at 76 years old and accomplishing this task.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's just incredible.
Sweet,
okay,
it?
Hang on. I've got a couple of callers. Let me pick up the first caller that came in. Caller at area code 803. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Caller.
Hi, this is
area
Arlene.
Code 803.
Hi, this is Arlene.
Hi,
Hello, Arlene.
You just won yourself a copy of Footprints Under the Pines.
That is awesome. I made a comment while Dawn was speaking. I wanted to know if she saw a drastic change in the work ethic of that era compared to today, and if so, did that help or hinder telling her story? And I'd be interested in her reply.
Dawn, did you hear Arlene's question?
Yeah, I heard it. Work ethic. You see, we had mentioned before that there had been a growth, just as there is so much growth in people. And yes, today they don't, and yet it still is. It's a difficult life. They work hard. But my cousin, he doesn't go down and get drunk as soon as it's over, because they live close enough to town. They can go into town and live with their families, and rather than being stuck way out there in the wilderness. So that helps too.
Dawn, I thoroughly enjoyed the program tonight. I so enjoyed your storytelling. You have an amazing voice, and I can't wait to read your book. I'm thrilled that I won, and I thank you so much.
Delighted you're going to be able to have it.
What I'd like you to do, Arlene, is email me at info@mastercoda.com with your mailing address, and I will forward that to Dawn, okay?
Thank you so much. It was a wonderful,
You're
wonderful
so welcome.
Show.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you so much. And we are wrapping up now. 10 seconds left. Thank you so much, ladies. And we will meet you back here at Readers Rockin' Radio next week.
And I will forward that, okay?
Thanks for joining us on Readers Rockin' Radio.